Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+ BeGambleAware.org.
Hi there, a very Merry Christmas to you, and thank you for joining us for the Racing Post Weekend Racing Postcast. I'm Bruce Millington, and I'm joined by my Racing Post colleagues, Keith Melrose and Robbie Wilders. Now then, most people, the day after Christmas can be a bit of an anti-climax, but of course for us racing fans, it's actually Boxing Day that we're all looking forward to. Great racing on Saturday and Sunday. We've got all the best bets for the King George, the Welsh National, some fabulous action at Leopardstown as well. And we'll see what else the boys fancy away from the TV cameras. We'll get the naps as well. So grab a pen and paper. Here are all your Christmas good things. We shall start on Saturday with the 150 at Kempton. It's the Ladbrokes Quarto Star Novice Chase. Over 3 miles. There's no one from Paddy Power joining us today. I think they must have had the Christmas party last night and all feeling the effects. The only thing that worries me about that is that it was probably a virtual one, so they must have gone hard, even though they were all in their living rooms. But anyway, I've got all the prices from Paddy Power. And on this race, they make Shamblou their 15-8 favourite. It's the big breakaway next at 11-4, 7-2 if the cap fits, 15-2 Enrilo and 14-1 Bar. Keith, just by reading through those, it shows one thing. This is a hot heat. Who wins it?
Yeah, it is a warm race, Bruce, but I just think Shamblou should be shorter than 15-8. This horse has absolutely thrived for moving to fences. You know, he was a useful novice, but he was no great shake. Maybe 140 at his best. He was very well held by the good novices like Shishkin and Envoy Alain. But over fences, he's just absolutely electric. The way he jumped, a Christmas treat for any listeners who can access these replays, obviously remember that the Racing Post can, watch that Weatherby win last time on the 30th of October and watch how he deals with those fences up the straight. Now, he finished very fast in that. It was 110% finishing speed percentage, which means they were going, you know, more than a second faster per furlong than average for the race up the straight. And he put 16 lengths into Snow Leopardess. She might win the Roland Merrick off 135. Later on Boxing Day. He's absolutely smashed them up and he's hurdled those fences. He's just dismissed them. He is clearly an absolute natural over fences. And I think the two behind him, the big breakaway and the cat fits, are only as close as they are because of the hurdles form. They've both had a couple of goes at fences now and haven't looked anything like the sort of natural chaser that Shamblou is. I'd have him 5-4. I think I'll have to bet him at 15-8.
A very confident start there from Keith. Robbie, do you share Keith's admiration for the favourite here?
Yeah, Shamblou has been excellent in his two starts over fences. He's looked a really exceptional jumper. Obviously, the big breakaway and if the cat fits were superior hurdlers, but obviously chasing is a different ballgame. I've actually taken him on at the prices, though. I've backed the big breakaway at 6-1 for this ages ago, but I'm not quite as confident now after he was beaten by Bolt Plan. I know that was over a trip too short, but he was really disappointing. I would still like him to put that to bed. And at 11-4, he doesn't make much appeal. Now, it's quite annoying there's not three places. I'd make it if the cat fits a nice each-way bet there around the 5-1 mark. But we don't have that. I'll put a line through his last run at Sandown from him. I don't think that was the ground would have been a bit too quick for him there. He was superb, actually, when he beat Fid on the roof at Foss last the time before. And if he replicates that for me, I think he can go close back up to 3 miles.
So you're going for if the cat fits?
Yeah, I think now, yeah.
Okay. And Keith, very sweet on Shamblou. Let's move on to the 225s, the Ladbrokes Christmas Hurdle. Traditionally one of the big hurdles races of the winter. And the reigning champion, Epiton, with a silly £7 alliance, is likely to turn this into a procession if the betting is to be believed. There's only five runners, Epiton 2-7, 5 Silver Streak, 16 Ballyandy, 20-1 Floressa, 50 Diego de Charles Mill. Is there any way we can eke some betting value out of this race, Robbie?
It is tricky. I mean, Epiton, probably you could make a case for Epiton being shorter, but we're not going to advise lumping on odds on, are we? She was absolutely electric in the fine fifth. Comfortably the best horse. You'd probably say Silver Streak's the one to follow her home, but he's not going to be able to give her £7, surely, unless she falls, God forbid. Silver Streak, he will be quite suited by the conditions of this race, but Epiton looks just by far the best British hurdler. And this should be a walk in the park, I think.
Keith, one thing that slightly surprised me looking at the market, I thought Silver Streak at fives and Ballyhand at 16. I expected them to be slightly closer. Is there any value in an Epatant Ballyhandy forecast?
Potentially, yeah. I do definitely see the point that Silver Streak and Ballyhandy on form are a lot closer than those prices would imply. I think there's a perception that Silver Streak really thrives around Kempton, and that might be why he's shortened up even more. But there was what was between them last year?
2.5, wasn't it?
Yeah, I can see that one for definite. I mean, that even looking at we're looking at the first three from the race last year, and that's not particularly inspiring. I got a little bit navel-gazy about this race, and I asked myself, why have they put cheek pieces on Diego de Charmilly, as mad as it is? And I wonder, there's only one way. Epatant was brilliant in Newcastle because she got to sprint again. And when she gets to sprint, you're not going to beat her. She is probably the fastest jumps horse in training at the moment, I would have said, when it comes to, just running up a straight like they did at Newcastle. If you're ever going to beat her, you're going to beat her by going hard. And I just wonder if that's what the intention is with Diego de Charmilly. He has got a tendency to go prominently. He has done over hurdles this year. And on chase form, he would be, if he could replicate his chase form over hurdles, he would be up there with Silver Streak and Ballyhandy. So I'm not sure I'll even have a bet on it, to be honest. But if this race is going to excite us and tell us anything new at all, it will be down to Harry Cobden being forceful on Diego de Charmilly.
Okay, let's see if the boys have got any more betting enthusiasm about the big race of the weekend. It's the 3 o'clock at Kempton, it's the Ladbrokes King George the Sixth Chase. Paddy Power bet 15-8 Clan des Oboes, 9-4 Surname, 11-2 Santini, 15-2 Lost in Translation, 14 Real Steel, 20 St Calvados and Waiting Patiently, 28 Frodon and 80 Black Op, 9 runners. So there is each way betting available. This is fascinating, Keith, because for me, out of those front four, the difference between their best and worst potential performance is pretty vast, isn't it? So it's trying to work out who's going to be on their game today, and if that's more than one of them, whose A game is enough to get this done, if that makes sense. It's a tricky heat, this, isn't it?
It is a little bit, and I've sort of simplified it for myself a little bit by ruling out Santini, really. That's not being completely disparaging. Everybody seems to think this horse, there's no sort of middle opinion on Santini, is there? But I sort of more take it now. That Gold Cup showed he's not as slow as you thought, but he probably is going to get done for speed by a couple of these. And Lost in Translation, while I'm a very big fan of the horse, I just can't back him after Haydock. I'll just have to sit this one out with him. And if he wins, I'll go, well, fair enough. And if that's the way I've got to play it with him. You talked about whose A game is the best, and the best A game, I'm confident, is Surnames. He is probably still the best chaser in training. And people rightly point out that Weatherby didn't test his stamina, but it tested something else which was nearly as important in his case, and that is being able to settle. It was a relatively steadily run 3 mile race, the Charlie Hall. And even though that he allowed I Wright to lead for most of the way, he was absolutely golden, just off him. And naturally, when it came to a sprint up the straight, he beat them on the bridle. If this horse can settle and get 3 miles, he's absolutely fine going right-handed because he's got all that form at Ascot. He probably should be favourite. And the reason he's not is because there is that lingering doubt that he might not show it. But I think he will. And I think he should be favourite. So Surname is very much the bet for me out of the big four.
Okay. And by the way, Paddy Power are giving a free £5 bet to all customers. All you've got to do is log on Boxing Day and claim from the banner on the homepage. So that can't be bad. A free fiver. Robbie, do you see this as a race to watch and enjoy, or is it one to get stuck into punting-wise?
No, I'll certainly be betting in it, Bruce. I'd actually disagree with Keith, though. I don't fancy Surname. I know he's beaten 21 lengths in the race last year. He won't be beaten that far this year, but I still think he's got it to prove in a strongly run 3 mile race. Clan des Oboes, he's 15-8 now. Paddy Power, I'll be hoping for around some sort of 5-2 on the day, and then I'd probably go in at that price. Got everything in his favour. The only minor doubt is the Haydock run and the Betfair Chase. He'd have a harder race than his prep last year. But I think he's got the class to battle up. One at a big price. St Calvados is definitely interesting around 20-1 because He's always, every first run of the season, he wins. He's three from three in that regard. He settles much better now. I think he can get that longer trip. He proved in the Ryanair when he nearly beat Min that he's settling much better and he can stay further than 2 miles. He's definitely worth a try over three. And yeah, that Ryanair run was top class, and his record fresh means that 20-1 might be interesting. At
There's a lot of judges had a putting that up, aren't there, Keith? I know Keels has gone for St Calvados, and there's a little sort of St Calvados bandwagon building, isn't there?
I think he will go. Well, I don't know what will happen on the day, but when you look on Boxing Day morning before the bookies start pushing out their offers, I think you'll see St Calvados is potentially the next one behind the big runners. And that's why I like the betting outlook at this race. Is you've got nine runners, you've got your big four there that have all, you know, you've got Surname, Clan de Zobo, and two horses that placed in the Gold Cup. And behind that, I still think there's a look of bets in there. That, I mean, personally, I don't fancy St Calvados to stay. So I won't be backing him for only that reason. But I can, those that are getting in, you know, they're just taking it as read that he'll stay the way that I am with Surname. And if you do that, then yeah, I can definitely see it. I've still got this little sneaky about Real Steel among the bigger priced ones. You know, there's this assumption that horses they go the wrong way for moving away from Willie Mullins, even when it's to Paul Nicholls, the best trainer of his generation. Real Steel still had enough going for him. He's only seven. How much did he catch your eye in the Gold Cup? It was a steadily run Gold Cup, and it was a speed Gold Cup, and he still didn't stay. But a sharp 3 miles should be absolutely fine for him. He's not had that many goes. There's a chance he might still be improving. And, you know, I thought if any of the bigger priced ones was going to infiltrate the first three, it would be him.
And Keith, it's interesting. I've just looked at the weather forecast. We have had a stack of rain down here in the south, but it actually looks like it's going to be fairly dry and cold for the next few days. So if they don't get any more rain, I think it's going to be proper good to soft, which will make it really interesting. I mean, my view of this race is that Santini, he's absolutely rock solid. He's the one who doesn't run bad races. And I just think with three places, I hate the phrase each way bet to nothing because they tend to return nothing. But I mean, I'll just be back in Santini each way. But I'm very much.
His worst run as a novice was here, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, there's no particular reason why he should run badly, is there? I mean, also, the other thing, I just think Hendo's record in December is so good. I just think the cadence of his training operation, they tend to peak now and in March, which is the 2 months you want them to. I just think Santini, he's a little bit over maligned for me. I don't think he's got a sort of reputation now, hasn't he? Because he's had a few twos, and I think a lot of them have been very plucky. You can be very game in defeat and then earn yourself a bad reputation. I don't think it's particularly fair.
The name calling on Santini is just embedded now, I think. You know, people, if your position on Santini hasn't changed as a result of the Gold Cup, then you're not forming an opinion. You're in a fan club, or the inverse of a fan club. I think that Gold Cup should not have suited Santini, and he still should have won it.
So, yeah, you know, I agree with that.
That's where I would sort of certainly concede to your point of view on the race, because Santini isn't as slow as many thought, including myself, because of what he did in the Gold Cup. Still think he's in amongst. I was looking at this race from a sort of tactical point of view, and I assume Bryony Frost is going to lead on Frodon. He's sort of there to give Surname a lead potentially. And nobody, when they go down that back straight for the last time, nobody bar Nico de Boinville wants Frodon to kick on. So I just can't see a tactical outcome of this race that really suits Santini.
Well, okay, that's fine. I just think he's double solid. And I think when all is said and done, I'm struggling to see three that can beat him. But it's a fascinating race for sure. Let's turn our attention to the brilliant Leopardstown Saturday card. And the 105 is the Knight Frank Juvenile Hurdle. It's a grade two over 2 miles. And Zana here, who looks so good in his two outings so far, is 8-13 with Paddy Power. It's 7-1 Hardor, 7-1 St. Sam, 8-1 Busselton, 10-1 Autumn Evening, and 18-1 Bar. Do you think this jolly's the real deal, Robbie?
Yeah, he looked absolutely superb at Fairy House. On the hurdling form we've seen, there's no way he can really get beaten here. St. Sam and Drew's Altar re-opposing, and they were just completely out of their depth against him. The only way he could possibly oppose him is if you had some sort of information that Mullins and O'Brien debutants were very smart, but we don't have that. We don't have benefit of that. So I'd really struggle to find anything to take him on here. Again, it's he's a very short price. It's a no-bet race for me. But, yeah, he looks special at Ferry House.
Yeah, unfortunately, just the seven runners. So each way, betting limited to two places. Keith, what's your view on this? Do you like this fella? He looks good, doesn't he?
He does look good. And I'm basically the same as Robbie. It's a no-bet race. I'll be looking for him to win it. And, you know, you will be watching the hurdling debutantes because, you know, they're from yards that wouldn't do this lightly. So keep an eye on them. I won't be having a bet.
Just very quickly, boys, if I gave you a free £2 and said place it on the Triumph Hurdle now, who would you back, Keith?
It's not a division I'm following closely enough, Bruce, so I would probably have my £2 on a chase.
Fair enough. Bobby?
I would back Quilixios. I actually did back him the other day. I was hoping that he'd be declared for this or the race at Chepstow. He's the Cheveley Park horse trained by Gordon Elliott. He's actually achieved just as much on RPRs as Zanahir did in the Ferry House race, but he's been against lesser opposition. Yeah, if you go and watch back his Down Royal run, he won at about 1-20, but he looked an absolute monster. Produced an RPR in the mid-140s, which is very impressive second time out. He's three times the price of Zanahir for the Triumph at 12 at the moment, and I don't know, I could see him being Elliott's number one come March.
Okay, interesting. Let's look at the 2:15 at Leopardstown on Saturday. It's the Racing Post Novice Chase, a grade one over 2-mile-1. We don't see Envoi Alain, but we do see some really fantastic chasing prospects. Paddy Power bet 11-8 Felix Deji, 7-2 Black Bow, 7-2 Dava Star, 8-1 Franco Deport, 10-1 Embittered, and the outsider at 33-1 is Ben Rubin. What's going to happen here, do you think, Keith Melrose?
I really quite fancy Black Bow. I watched back his run at Navan. It was his chasing debut. And the form of it, we'll come on to in a second. But what I liked is how he cruised through the race. He hit the second last. And it didn't even get him off the bridle. It was really impressive for me what he did there. And it wasn't just Muggs he was taking the mickey out of. You know, in Tukas, who he beat comfortably in the second, has since finished second in a grade B handicap of about 138. So, you know, that's a horse that's got a real sort of low to mid-140s worth. The only other horse within an old distance of Black Bull was Deafy Blue, who was, again, a 140-plus hurdler last year. So these are good horses that he's basically mugged off. I just think he's a really exciting prospect.
Okay. Robbie, who do you think is going to win this?
Yeah, do you know what? I was looking at Blackbird in the week at about 7-1, three places, and I didn't get in. I'm quite annoyed now because he's half that price. Fully agree with Keith. Really impressed with what he's done over fences this season. He looks like he's grown up a bit. But at the prices now, I would certainly take a close look at Embittered at 10-1. That looks quite big. No shame in finishing second to Andy Dufresne and Easy Work in his two beginners chases. If you go back to his last hurdles run as well, in the county hurdle, he was third in that, and that race is working out superbly. He was trying to give £9 to Sam Roy, which was obviously going to be an impossible task, seeing as what that horse has done since. And he was only getting three from the more experienced Aramon, who's won the Galway hurdle since then. That's top-class handicap form, and he was quite lightly raced over hurdles. As I say, the two chase runs, he might have been beaten, but by two potentially grade one performers, and 10-1, I could definitely see that going off a lot shorter, so he'll be the way. I'll be betting at those prices.
Righty-ho. Okay, let's see what else the boys fancy on Saturday. Don't give your naps away, but we've got all the other great races at Kempton and Leopardstown. We've got Weatherby, we've got Wincanton. They're racing over at Limerick, and if you fancy an all-weather play, which I don't suppose Keith certainly won't, they're racing at Wolverhampton. Robbie, what else have you got for us on Saturday, my friend?
Yeah, got a few, Bruce. First of all, we've not touched on the 14 novices chase at Limerick. I had a fair each way bet anti-first on Janadil at 13-2. Only been five runners declared there again. There's always going to be small fields when you've got two grade one novice chases over similar trips on Boxing Day. But this Janadil, yeah, he won his beginner's chase in really good style first time out for Willie Mullins. The form looks quite good as well. The fourth, Espinita Bello, has come out and bolted up by 18 lengths since then. Janadil, yeah, he's a progressive hurdler. He ran in the Albert Bartlett on his last start. He was fifth there. He was best of the rest. And we've all spoken about how good that Albert Bartlett is. He didn't stay 3 miles there, back over 2.5 miles. I think this trip suits him down to the ground. I was really taken by him on his chase debut. Estirin Falonge is odds on for this. And he's a treat. He's quite a quirky individual. He's not one I put maximum faith in odds on. And Janadil, I think he's 11-2 with Paddy Power. That looks too big from a win perspective. Another one at Limerick, I've got a horse called Dior Care. but no meat in the 12:47 2x4 hurdle. This horse, it's not really worked out for him over fences this season. He's been sent off quite well supported for his three chases, but he's fallen once and he's made a catalogue of errors in the other two chases. His last run over hurdles was really eye-catching. He beat Monkfish by 7 lengths in a Fairy House maiden hurdle. He was actually the last horse to beat Monkfish. And returning to hurdles, yeah, I could see him certainly recapturing that spark of old. And he's around 15-8 price. Yeah, I think that's a good bet.
Okay, that's it, is it?
Yeah, that's the two. Not giving him a nap just yet.
Right, we'll get your nap after Keith's told us what else he fancies on Saturday.
Yeah, and one that is, I'm pretty sure it's on the telly, the 1:15 at Kempton, the novice handicap chase, it's always a good race. The top two in the betting both ran at Sandown last time. Alderdam won the race. He made all, or made most, one of the two. He certainly made a lot of the running, and that certainly worked around Sandown. And Killer Clown was third, shaping like he probably was just about stretched, even by 2.5 round Sandown. Whizzing round Kempton, I definitely think Killer Clown is worth another chance to reverse that form and to win this race.
You've nicked my thunder. That's my
nap. Is that your nap, is it?
It is, yes. I really like this horse. I spoke to Emma at the start of the season, just chatting away about something, and I said, give us one to follow this winter, will you? And she said, I really like this Killer Clown. And I totally agree with you. I just think the Sandown Hill was too sharp for him.
It excuses everything he's done up to now as well. Obviously, he was novice hurdles and then he was straight over in the handicap chases. He ran in the D Machine race at Utoxeter. Now, anybody who's watching that is one of the strongest bits of form all season over novice chases so far. Check it out. It's been really, really strong. Killer Clown was wiped out that day. You can disregard his run. But the fact that, you know, a lot of other people put their fancied novices into that race, and it gives you a little bit of a clue as to him being well regarded. The next run at Exeter was 3 miles behind Jersey Bean, didn't stay. And as I sort of said, I'm not even sure that the stiff 2.5 at Sandown really suited him. But I just think Kempton 2.5 miles is going to be just what he wants.
Good. I'm glad to hear that endorsement.
I have got one more. I've got one more, though. And I very nearly napped this one. It's in the 1:28 at Wetherby. It's Time to Get Up. Monkfish was mentioned when Rob was talking about his bets. And this horse was second to Monkfish in his maiden hurdle, but that was his third run. Didn't actually win a maiden hurdle for Joseph O'Brien, but still showed useful sort of form. He's moved to John Joe O'Neill this year, and on his debut for the yard at Aintree in November, it was a race Canelo won. Canelo's going to run in the Roland Merrick, and as we speak, his favourite for the Roland Merrick. Time to Get Up in the same colours was given a what we call tender handling, according to the stewards, because the stewards looked into it. And they noted John Joe O'Neill Jr.'s explanations and all that and just didn't take any further action. But it was an eye-catching ride. This horse is extremely unexposed. And I've heard the owner likes a bet, JP McManus. So maybe Boxing Day is a time to really pull a touch. The reason I've not napped him is because he is one of those McManus horses that you'll definitely back, but you don't particularly want to nap. But I do fancy him. I've already backed him. He was the first horse I backed on Boxing Day, and he's still about 7-2.
Excellent. Right then, let's get the Saturday naps. As already revealed, I like Killer Clown in the 1:15 at Kempton, and that's been endorsed by Keith, which is always good news. Robbie, what's your Saturday nap?
Cool, yeah, absolutely love one at Leopardstown, Bruce. 1:40 Leopardstown, 2 mile novice handicap hurdle. One called Poet. He's about 4-1 with Paddy Power at the moment. I can see that going off a lot shorter. Basically, last year he was very progressive on the flat. His mark rose from 62 to 100 in 2019. He ended up at that listed level. His trainer, Matthew Smith, is absolutely superb. You look at what he's done with Ronald Pump. He's got him up to 1:56, finishing second in the Stayers hurdle from a mark of 102 a year before. This one called Poet, he's run a couple of nice races at Dundalk this month to tee himself up for this. He's rated only £5 lower on the flat now. He's absolutely thrown in. He takes his racing really well, so I wouldn't be concerned about backing up quickly. He only ran at Dundalk on December the 18th. But this is a horse who won twice in 2 days at Galway last year. And he also won a Premier Handicap at the Curragh the day after running at Leopardstown. This has got the makings of a very well handicapped horse. I'm not saying he's another Ronald Pump, but I wouldn't be surprised if he had a couple of stone in hand.
Nice one. Thank you very much, Robbie. One call Poet for Robbie is up in the 1:40. Keith, who's your best bet?
Yeah, Manap, as I say, it might have been tightly get up in different circumstances, but it's Shanblue in the 150 at Kempton.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Let's look at Sunday next.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back. It's the Racing Post Christmas weekend postcast special with Bruce Millington, Keith Melrose, and Robbie Wilders. I don't want to spoil the Christmas mood, but in Ireland they've done it right, and in Britain they've done it wrong. As far as Sunday's cards go, Ireland have introduced 96-hour decks. Britain, bucking a very welcome trend that's come out of lockdown, has gone back to 24 hours, which is annoying because it means that there's a lot of really good, potentially really good races at Chepstow and Kempton that we can't really preview in the depth we'd like to because we don't know who's going to run. However, the big race on Sunday, as far as Britain is concerned, it's the 250 at Chepstow. It's the Coral Welsh Grand National. It's run in memory of King Ginjal. Obviously, a nice touch there by the sponsors, the daughter of Colin Tizard, who tragically died this year. Paddy Power bet 3-1 Secret Reprieve. Oh, 3-1. 15-2 Springfield Fox. 10-1 Truckers Lodge. 10-1 The Two Amigos. 10-1 Christmas in April. 12-1 Yalarenki. 12-1 Ramses Today. And 14-1 Bar. And Robbie Wilders, the winner of the 2020 Coral Welsh National, will be.
Well, I'll open it's Christmas in April. Backed him for this at 33s about a month ago. He's got a lovely profile for this, I think. He absolutely relishes a slog over a marathon trip on heavy ground. He's
you
already
do
won
like the a spray-up of your anti-post bets, don't
yeah.
you? I think Hills was the king of that. More gloating you want
to
do.
I think it's important. It's important. It's important to it's all about price, mate. We know this. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, he's 33-1 there. That's gone 10-1. I still make him a fair bet. He's got a lovely racing weight, 10-3. Tizard, excellent record in the race, obviously, 1-2 of the last four. This is only run of this year. If I was going back in on the day, and I think I probably will, because I don't know what Paddy Power doing, there might be six places, but Springfield Fox is very interesting. Looks an old-fashioned plot job for this. In the National Hunt Chase, he was quite well fancied, himself for 7-1 shot. He fell way too far out to know how he would have fared in the run, but before that, he did look all stamina, great record on the heavy ground again. This season, he's had a nice pipe over hurdles. That preserved his chase mark. 10-9, that's a nice racing weight. He can definitely improve again. And yeah, when those enhanced players terms come out, I'll be going in on Springfield Fox.
Okay, many thanks, Robbie. It would certainly be a very emotional win if the Tizards could take this race out. Keith, are you interested in the favourite here, Secret Reprieve?
No, not at that price. He's
a terrible price. I mean, he can obviously win, but goodness me. Yeah. I suppose, you know, you'd have to accept that if you would take him on, he might just be a dot on the handicap and very progressive and win. Can, goodness me, 3-1.
72-3-1 is just inviting you to do just that. I mean, he could well win because he's a very talented horse, and he always has been. He's always been very well regarded. But the reason he came sort of from nowhere to favourite by winning that trial here is because he really delivers. And why would you back him at 3-1 on the big day when he's already, just 3 weeks ago, put in a big performance? He's never been that. He's never been reliably showing the form you think he's capable of. And I'm not about to take 3-1, 7-2 to for him to back it up 3 weeks later. So, yeah, it is so easy to just, you know, let that one go through to the wicketkeeper, or, you know, to just accept that. And if it wins, then so be it. I really do quite fancy Springfield Fox. Have done since he won it. Exeter, really, in February. He just looked like a horse that was made for a Welsh National. He jumps boldly. He goes from the front, which is something you actually want to have in this race. And he's just looks custom made for the Welsh National. We don't have the final field yet. We knew this horse was going to run from a long time out. And I am delighted to see that in advance of Dex, James Bowen has been confirmed for the ride. The way this horse races, Johnny Burke, there's nobody better than Johnny Burke in terms of how he rides those types of horses, you know, that controlled aggression from the front. And he can't make the ride, he's still injured, won't be back until the new year. But James Bowen is a more than adequate replacement, so I'm delighted to see that. And Springfield Fox is a and you know, I have backed him each way already. Each way is probably the way to go, but it's a very confident each way selection.
Okay, well, I'm sure Paddy Power and all bookmakers will be offering very generous extra places there. I've got to go with the old Big River. I love him. I think he's going to come charging through late on. If you can get as many extra places as you can, I think he's worth an extra.
You'd back that horse for the Nunthorpe if you could.
I would. Honestly, I love him. No, honestly, this could be the making of him, Keith. I'm telling you, honestly. I know loyalty is a bad trait in betting. You shouldn't just stick with the same horse every time, but this one gets the job. Honestly, those big races that he plugs on and nicks a place late on, I think he can do it again here. Having said that, we do need to keep our fingers crossed that the race is on, because there is an absolute ton of rain forecast to hit Chepstow on Saturday night right through to Sunday. So hopefully it will be fine, because it's one of my favourite races of the year. Okay, as mentioned, we've got Kempton so far undeclared, and we've got some more great stuff at Chepstow as well. We'll look at Leopardstown in a moment, but is there anything else on those Chepstow and Kempton cards on Sunday, chaps, that you want to flag up? Robbie?
Yeah, there is one in the Desert Orchid, Bruce. You might think I'm mad here, but I think Altior might get beaten. I like Duke de Geneva for this, getting £6. I was really quite impressed with him in the Schlur Chase on his first start for Nichols. A lot of these Jared Sullivan horses have really been improving for their first start for the yard, and he ran a really superb race there. The ground is quite important to him, so I'll be hoping it lashes it down. But all it takes really is Altior to run a few pounds below his best, and Duke de Geneva to run a few pounds above his best, and we've got a serious game on. Altior is nearly 11, has been well advertised. I just think eventually it's going to catch up with him, and Duke de Geneva is only 7, should be hitting his prime. That £6 allowance, that could be crucial. And yeah, I do quite like him. I think eventually Altior's going to get beaten, and it might be the day on the 27th.
Okay, we shall see. Keith, anything from you?
No, because of the lack of decks, I've just not even looked, really.
I'll tell you what, Keith, going back to 24-hour decks, we don't want that, do we? I mean, there hasn't been too many good things to come out of the situation we've all endured this year, but 48-hour decks is definitely one of them, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. We need, it's easy for us to say as the media, because it really does suit us, but it suits everybody but trainers.
It does. Of course
it does. Absolutely everybody but trainers, this. So it should stay.
I mean, you know, here we have Altior, one of the best loved horses in the land. We don't know who he's going to run against. It's Potty. You cannot declare for Sunday on the Saturday. We mustn't do that. They should have said either we're going to pay people a few extra quid to work on Christmas Day, or we're going to do it on the 23rd like Ireland did. And talking of Ireland, we will look ahead to their fabulous Sunday card next.
Right, 10 seconds to promote Paddy Power Games. Paddy Power Games, Paddy Power Games, Paddy Power Games. Advertising. It's easy when you know how. Paddy Power. Enough of the nonsense. 18 plus, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. It's Bruce Millington, Keith Melrose and Robbie Wilders. Let's look ahead now to Sunday's card at Leopardstown, because there's so many good races. We'll start with the 110, the Paddy's Reward Club Chase. It's a grade one over 2 miles and 1 furlong over the larger obstacles. And what a race we've got now. The travel ban that has been extended between Britain and Ireland has had a happy consequence for this race, because it means Put the Kettle On is pitted against Chacun Pour Soir. Notebooks in there as well. Paddy Power go 4-9, Chacun Pour Soir. 4-1 Notebook, 6-1 Put the Kettle On, 25-1 the other three, who are Animix, Castle Grace Paddy and Larishberg. And Keith Melrose, at some point, the market are going to realise that Put the Kettle On is quite good, but they haven't done here. How's she 6-1?
Because she's been, she makes best use of her mare's allowance, and she's tough. That's what, you know, she's tough rather than extremely good, I think.
You know, yeah, I'm not saying she's extreme. Well, I think she's very, very good, but I don't get it. I still think there's juice here. You obviously don't. What do you think will happen?
I think Jacqueline Poursois should probably be a bit shorter, to be honest, but it's not to the point where I'd actually get tucked in at 2s on. This horse probably should be about 4-11, 3s on. It's not a particularly exciting betting race for me.
It doesn't sound it in your tone of voice. Robbie, are you enthused by this heat?
I mean, yeah, any day you get to see Chacun Pour Soir is a good day, because he is potentially the best horse around, isn't he? I know he's beaten in this last year, but he wasn't fully fit. He's had that run behind him now. He was excellent in the Hilly Way on his return. £9 clear of Notebook, second top rated. I really struggled to see him beaten, but yeah, odds on again, not a bet.
Okay, I will keep the faith in Put the Kettle on. The 145 at Leopardstown's the Paddy Power Future Champions Novice Hurdle, another grade one. No prices just yet, but we'll run through the field. Appreciate it. Bally Adam, Duke Up, Fire Attacker, Rascal, loads of good ones. We don't have a show yet, Robbie, but who do you fancy?
Yeah, I put up N'Golo in the weekend at a double figure price. I thought he was on the look too big, certainly on his Royal Bond run. He was only beaten two lengths by Bally Adam, but he was just pulling Paul Townend's arms out the whole way, and he couldn't settle. There's no pace on. If they go a bit quicker here, I think he's better than he showed. Bally Adam was much more mature that day. I just wouldn't have that much between him and the betting. Appreciate it. It's obviously a very smart horse, but 2 miles, he might be more of a 2.5 mile at this stage, whereas N'Golo looks an out and out 2 miler. Yeah, I just thought the double figure odds. Yeah, he looked one for me. N'Golo.
Keith, have you got one for us here?
No, it's good to see two properly good novice hurdlers taking each other on at this time. It's becoming an increasingly rare thing, isn't it? Especially in Ireland. But I didn't see enough to inspire a bet, but I'll definitely be making a point of watching this race because it's an appealing clash between Appreciate It and Bally Adam.
Indeed. Now then, the 220 at Leopardstown on Sunday is interesting for two reasons. One is the name. It's the Paddy Power Maybe I Like the Misery Handicap Hurdle. Does that mean anything to either of you two?
Well, unless it's dedicated to me.
No idea. What's that about, Bruce?
Well, apparently it's actually a line from a Father Ted Christmas special, Maybe I Like the Misery. So what Paddy Power did is they got their Instagram followers to choose the name of this race. They gave them a few options and they've gone for this one. But more importantly, if you want to make money out of it, Paddy Power are betting on two winners in this race. So the first one over the line, they will pay you out. And the second one, if you back the horse that finishes second, max stake of a tenner, they'll pay you out as a winner as well. It's not an easy heat. There are 19 runners and we will leave you to fend for yourselves as far as picking that one goes, because the boys are going to move now onto the 255 at Leopardstown. The Paddy Power Chase, over 3 miles, it's wide open. It's 8-1 Home by the Lee, 8-1 Knox Corner, 10-1 Castleborne West, 10-1 Captain DJ, 10-1 Manella times 12 FitzHenry, and 14 Bar. Keith, do us a favour and solve this fiendish 22 runner affair.
I think I have come to the same conclusion as whoever has priced this race up for Paddy Power, because you can get a much bigger price about Captain CJ, but I really quite fancy him. I think this has been the making of him. He has some very good novice form behind him. He gave Manella Indo a bit of a fright at Navan in January there, and the time after looked quite impressive. His last run, now, what happened at Fairy House? It was court made, smashed him by 14.5 lengths, but she beat everything by 13 plus in that race. And Captain CJ jumped left most of the way around, as he tended to do at Navan, even when he was going left-handed. This horse wants to go this way round. And at Fairy House, even though it was 3 mile 5, he sort of lost touch when he first came under pressure and then kept on. They've now put a tongue tie on, and that's the sort of instance in which I quite like seeing a tongue tie going on. So they're going left-handed, a big field handicap where they're going to put a bit of emphasis on stamina. A mark that actually looks pretty lenient if you look at his novice form. Yeah, I think Captain CJ is the one. I mean, how can you be dead confident in a race like this? But a horse who at the best prices on offer, you're getting 14-16s as we're speaking, that's a big price.
Okay, Captain CJ for Keith. Robbie, have you had a good chance to get stuck into this?
Yeah, Keith makes a good case there. This race has annoyed me, actually, because I was all over on the ropes for ages for this, for Willie Mullins, but he hasn't been declared. I'm a bit annoyed about that. Anyway, but if pushed for a bet now, Home by the Lee. I know he's 8-1 with Paddy Power. But yeah, he's been really impressive over fences. And he just looks well handicapped of 1.38. I like backing novices in these kind of races. He was obviously 3rd-10 by Alan Brimmore last time. That looks good form. Look really good over fences, and that step up to 3 mile could yield more improvement. Yeah, he looks like he's going to go close off 1.38, I think.
Splendid stuff. Okay, gentlemen, thank you very much. Keith, thank you. Robbie, thank you for joining us. Those are your Christmas bets. We'll be back next week and right into 2020 with more great racing postcasts. Don't forget, do please bet responsibly, bet safely. Don't inflict Christmas misery on yourself by losing more money than you can afford to. But have a great time. The racing is fantastic. Enjoy it. And don't forget, if you do enjoy these shows, please do make sure you rate, review and subscribe wherever you are. I think that's pretty much it now. Enjoy Christmas, enjoy the racing, and we'll see you next week for another great racing postcast.
Paddy Power are streaming all UK and Irish racing on our app. No bet required. Just log in and watch. Terms and conditions apply. 18 plus. Begambleaware.org.